Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Boquist, Minnis, excused for business of the House, Nolan.
Flag salute will be led by Representative Sarah Gelser.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. Today is the first day of the 5th Gilkey International Middle School of Portland Grade 8 Salem Legislative Internship Program. During this extensive 4-day middle school internship, the only one of its kind in the nation, students spend 2 days with a legislator, first a Democratic legislator and then a Republican legislator, 2 days with a House member and 2 with a senator. In the afternoon, students attend workshops on the executive, judiciary, press, and lobby. This experience takes place thanks to the efforts of over 200 staff members, 50 legislators, a dozen members of the press, Supreme Court justices, and their clerks, lobbyists, the governor, attorney general, and treasurer. And students are grateful for this experience and appreciate the efforts undertaken. I would like to ask all of those students to stand so that we can see where you are. Wonderful. It's great to have you here with us today and the days to come. Thank you. Other courtesies? You can sit down. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And my student today from Gilkey is Haley Larrison from Portland, and next year she'll be at the Catlin Gable High School. She's 13 years old in the 8th grade.
We are going to ask legislators not to individually introduce all of their students in the interest of time. If you feel really strongly, go ahead and stay in the queue, but that was the plan. Thank you. Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to introduce 3 honorary pages today I have. Could you stand, please? Josh Fleming from Eagle Creek. He's 12 years old, 8th grade at Estacada Junior High. School activities are Environmental Club, Robotics, and Science Bowl. Mitchell Ryan Robinson, could you stand? He's from Eagle Creek. He's 13 years old, 8th grade, and he goes to Estacada Junior High. Animals and nature are his activities, and he loves the Environmental Club. Welcome. And also Emma Reed, from Sandy. She's age 13, 7th grade at Estacada Junior High. She likes babysitting, piano novice lessons, school choir, plays, music, and reading. And her organizations are Girls Incorporated Curriculum Committee. Welcome to all of you. And I'd like to introduce my intern today from Gilkey International, Rajman Gumgalia. Hope I said it right. Welcome.
Thank you, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please extend courtesies today to three very special teens and their faculty advisor from Madras, Oregon. These teens have faced many challenges and have decided to speak out against sexual violence in their community. We have today Nicholas Katia, Isaac Zacharias, Joanna Williams, and Savinia Falquist, who is their director. The Madras High School Youth Development Team is a three-year program that includes one adult and 15 teens at Madras High School in Jefferson County, Oregon. They are to be congratulated for their great work and their accomplishments. They are a mentor site for the National Center for Victims of Crime Youth Outreach for Victims Assistance Project, one of only six sites in the United States of America. They have shared a film, Silent Message, to teens and adults throughout the United States. And most importantly, they have shown support to 900 peers and changed the climate around victim blaming and myths about sexual violence in their high school and their community. Colleagues, these will be our next leaders. Thank you so much.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce to you two honorary pages I have joining me today. Please stand up, Joanna and Max Wendell. Joanna is a sophomore at the Beaverton Arts and Communication Magnet Academy, where she's a classmate of my daughter Sarah's. She is involved with a school newspaper. Her career goals are writing and cartooning. If she would have been here yesterday, I would have told you that she was 15, but colleagues, today is her 16th birthday. So please welcome her and say happy birthday to her when you see her around the Capitol today. Her brother Max Wendell is here today as well. He is a senior at Westview High School, which is in my district. He likes bowling and baseball. He hopes to be a psychologist, so I hope he has an opportunity to talk with Representative Barnhart at some point today. And I would also like to acknowledge my friend and constituent, Max and Joanna's father, Peter Wendell, who's over on the side there. Thank you for helping me welcome them to the Capitol.
Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I have the opportunity to invite courtesies to some very important guests. And first of all, today in our cycle of community colleges, today is Oregon Coast Community College Day. This little college started in 1987, and with us here today is Dr. Patrick O'Connor, who I believe is up here. He's been president at OCCC since 1990. Under his leadership, Oregon Coast Community College has grown from a college that offered a small handful of community classes in scattered spaces all around Lincoln County to a thriving community college offering a variety of innovative programs, including a new nursing program and an aquarium science program in cooperation with the Hatfield Marine Science Center, and this is the nation's first. Throughout its amazing growth, Oregon Coast Community College has never owned a building or had a campus, but that's about to change. We're breaking ground thanks to a bond measure and some support from the legislature. We're celebrating a 20th anniversary, and I'd like to note that Dr. O'Connor is not just a leader at the community college, he's also very much a leader and inspiration in his community, where he's received several special awards. Welcome, Dr. Patrick O'Connor. And with Pat today is Dr. Larry Mullins. Dr. Mullins is the president and CEO of Samaritan Health Services in Oregon, which employs 4,300 people, including my son, Tavis, and serves 250,000 Oregonians in Lynn, Benton, Lincoln, and portions of Polk and Marion counties. Dr. Mullins has been named the Business Person of the Year by the Chamber and received the McEachern Chief Executive Award. He served in leadership roles all across the nation and around the state. And he'd like us to know that Samaritan Health Services benefit from the well-established nursing programs at Lynn Benton College, as well as the newly created nursing program at Oregon Coast Community College. He's here today with some of his partners from those schools, and they'd like to remind us, of course, that state support of these community college programs will help ensure the creation of family wage jobs in the growing field of health care and strengthens Oregon's economy and quality of life. And if I could have just one more moment, I would like you to greet today from Newport High School, Goof. The Girls of Our Future is a group that has a mission to create unity among teens by promoting respect, compassion, and kindness through peace, independence, strength, and inspiration. They accomplish this through peer-to-peer mentoring, girls' nights, and classroom education. Here in the House Chamber are two members of the group, Miranda Herzog and Nikki Sylvia. They're accompanied by a number of adults who are here today to help bring us enhanced awareness of domestic violence issues. Thank you.
Thank you and welcome to all. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, colleagues. It is my great pleasure to welcome many, many people who are here today for Pro-Choice Lobby Day. You can see them. Many are wearing pink shirts and the gallery is quite full. These are advocates on women's health care issues. They are here today to hear House Bill 2700. And they are only a fraction of the many, many, many women around the state of Oregon who are watching us and cheering us on today. So welcome to the Capitol.
Welcome. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to welcome some special guests today as well, in addition to Zoe Houston, who's sitting with me from the Gilkey Group. I also want to introduce a very special Rebecca Roth, from my district in Estacada. Thank you for standing, Rebecca. There's a couple of reasons why I'm glad to welcome Rebecca. The first is, if you'll allow me, I have a daughter named Rebecca, and she took off on a Rotary exchange in August. I haven't seen her since August 13th. And it's just a pleasure to actually have a Rebecca in the chamber from my district. The other reason it's special is because Rebecca is an outstanding student in Estacada, at Estacada Junior High. She's involved in math, volleyball, and softball. She's been recognized as a talented and gifted student, and we're very happy to have you here. I've got a special commemorative certificate for you afterwards. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In addition to Alex Holmes, who is sitting at my desk with me and is working in my office for the next 2 days from the Gilkey School, I would like to welcome Middleton Elementary School. They're here again today. We have 40 fifth graders up here in the back gallery, and they are led by Karen Migliaretto. Karen, I'm sorry, I did it again. They are from Middleton in Sherwood, and we are glad to have them here and hope that they enjoy the tour and the rest of the time that they're here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to extend courtesies to Gordon Russell Middle School student. Will, can you wave where you are? Okay, Mr. Speaker, they are not here yet, but as soon as they are here, then I will extend the courtesy. Thank you.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, would you join me in welcoming our friends from the Centers Against Rape and Domestic Violence in Corvallis, who are here for Domestic Violence Awareness Day. We have a whole host of people who are here, so I'm only going to name Nancy O'Mara, who is the executive director of the Center Against Rape and Domestic Violence. CARDVA in Benton County provides excellent services to women who have been victims of violence. Last year, they served 28 women and 24 children from Linn County who were able to stay in the shelter at Cardva. So they're not just serving the women and children in Benton County, but in Linn County as well. Their efforts are very important to the safety of women and children, and I hope that you will join me in supporting efforts to strengthen our protections for victims of domestic violence during this legislative session. Thank you very much.
Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two honorary pages that I would like to introduce today, and I apologize to them that I haven't had the opportunity to meet them yet because we ran a little long in our committee this morning. First is Katie Warren, if Katie would stand. Good morning. Katie is a seventh grader who lives in Eagle Creek and attends Estacada Junior High School. She's an artist woman who loves plays, ballet, dance, art, organizing things, and then her sportsman side comes out because she likes basketball and swimming. Look forward to working with you today, Katie. Welcome. And then also Taylor Powell. Hello, Taylor. He's also from Eagle Creek. He's a sixth grader at Estacada Middle School. Is that right? Oops. We got our information wrong. Seventh grade, Estacada Middle School. Got it? Okay. And he's a sportsman. He likes football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, fishing, hunting, and camping. So please welcome Taylor and Katie.
Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to introduce my intern for the day, Rishab Sivakumar. Stand up, Rishab. He is an eighth grader at Gilkey Middle School. His favorite sport is tennis, and his favorite subject is math. So please welcome Rishab here to our chamber today. Thank you.
Representative Maurer.
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and former member Gordon Anderson be extended privileges of the House and floor.
Representative Maurer requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and former Representative Gordon Anderson be granted the privileges of the House and floor. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Dingfelder. Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also want to welcome all the volunteers that are here today in the Capitol. We also have hearing rooms A and B filled with people. I would welcome you and thank you for being here as an advocate for choice. I happen to serve as a volunteer on the Planned Parenthood Board, and I'm really proud to see this day happen and look forward to seeing you all out in the Capitol steps in a little bit.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask the body to extend courtesy today to my intern for a couple of days. Please stand up, Maddie. Maddie Whitaker. She's also from Gilkey Middle School in Portland. Her favorite subjects are English and Spanish. She also likes dancing, and she does have a little brother. So thank you for helping, Stan.
Thank you, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would like to introduce my intern for the day. His name is Ben Blankenship. Ben, if you please stand up. He's an eighth grader at Gilkey School. And he's on that school's lacrosse team. He likes to ride bikes and is currently trying to get his airplane pilot's license. So thank you, Ben, for your help today.
Representative Gelser. Are there further announcements? Further courtesies? Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over on the side aisle gathering, we have students from their Portland State and their practicing educators currently who are working toward initial administrative licensure. So future school administrators working hard, people involved in education, and they're here today to observe the process. So please extend courtesies to the class. Thank you.
Any further courtesies? Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bill 433, 439, 447, 451, 465, 516, 605, 5510, 5523, 5526, 215, 410, 242, adopted SCR 7. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform that he has signed Senate Bill 240.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SCR 7, recognizing and honoring sacrifices that employers make in support of employees who are members of National Guard and Reserve.
Measures read first time. It's passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. Committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2700 relating to contraception.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2700A. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today I am delighted to bring to the floor.
Colleagues, can we have everyone's attention, please?
House Bill 2700, the Access to Birth Control Act. Colleagues, this bill has two components. First, House Bill 2700 will correct discriminatory practices in insurance coverage by requiring health insurance plans to include coverage for prescription contraceptives in the same manner that other prescription drugs are covered. According to research, approximately one-third of Oregon women with health insurance report that their policy does not include contraceptive coverage. As a result, thousands of Oregon women pay out-of-pocket costs for this basic medical care. Already, 26 states have enacted similar laws, and it is time for Oregon to join them. The second component of House Bill 2700 will ensure that victims of rape and incest have access to emergency contraception in hospital emergency rooms. According to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, one in six women report experiencing a rape or an attempted rape at some point in their lives. Offering emergency contraception to victims of sexual assault is compassionate, basic health care for women and will help keep these victims from undergoing the additional trauma of an unintended pregnancy as a result of rape or incest. This is a common sense bill, colleagues, that will provide greater access to birth control for Oregon women, as well as ensure that all victims of sexual assault receive the best medical care possible. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Our further carrier, Representative Rosenbaum.
Can you move a little bit? Thank you. Colleagues, it is my great pleasure to rise today in support of House Bill 2700, a bill that has been a long time in getting to the floor. In fact, 14 years have gone by since this legislation was first introduced. And today is the day. Today is the day for the women of Oregon to finally achieve fairness in basic health care. House Bill 2700 does two very important things. First, it requires that if you have prescription drug coverage in your health care plan, that coverage will also cover prescription birth control the same way it does any other prescription. We've called that by various names. We've called it contraceptive equity. We've called it a prescription for fairness. But the bottom line here is that birth control is part of basic health care for women, and it should be treated as such, and that's what this part of the bill will do. In addition to that, the bill also has another important provision, and this is for the tragedy of rape and sexual assault victims who go to the hospital emergency room. They must be given the crucial information about emergency contraception and also the opportunity to actually get emergency contraception in the emergency room. We really do not want rape victims to be out looking for a pharmacy that's open in order to fill a prescription. They should be able to get their needs met right then and there at the hospital. Colleagues, this bill has been around for a long time, as I said, but there are some very important things about it that I want to point out to you. We know that women have much greater out-of-pocket costs for health care than men do, and in fact, the figure is that women of reproductive age are paying, on average, 68% more in out-of-pocket costs for their health care. And most of that is because of the failure of insurance companies to cover prescription contraception. In addition to that, we know that about half of all plans still are not providing this coverage. Many have come along voluntarily, but many have not, and that is why we need this legislation. I also was asked by somebody earlier before the debate about what is the position of insurance companies on the bill, and I think it's important to point out that insurance companies are not opposing this legislation. So I think you can rest assured that they believe that they can provide this coverage, that it will not cause huge problems, and they are not in opposition to the bill. Another very important aspect when I first started working on this in 2001 is that there was a court case that came out of our neighboring state of Washington. A woman who worked for a pharmacy in Washington was denied this coverage and filed a lawsuit under the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Act. And the federal courts came down with a ruling in that case that said that it is sex discrimination not to provide this coverage, and therefore employers in our own state are at risk of being sued if they don't provide this. So by voting for this bill today, you can also reassure employers that they are being protected by the legislation. More than half of all pregnancies in the United States today are unintended pregnancies. And whether you're pro-choice or not, you can feel good about voting for this bill because it's a bill that everybody can agree will prevent the need for abortions and prevent those unintended pregnancies. But ultimately, colleagues, it is the women of Oregon and their families who stand to gain from this bill in every way. They stand to gain in terms of their pocketbook. They stand to gain in terms of their welfare, that of their families. Their basic health care needs will be met. 26 states have already passed this legislation. It is long past time for Oregon to join those states and become one of the states that does this for their citizens, for the women of Oregon. So please join me today in standing up for the women who are here today to see it happen, for the women in your district, young or of reproductive age, and their families who really need this legislation. Please join me in casting your I vote for House Bill 2700. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Being part of the Human Services and Women's Wellness Committee, I just want to rise at this time and share with you just a tad bit my feelings on this bill, House Bill 2700. Initially, I'll just be candid with you. I was not real supportive of this bill. There's a portion of it I absolutely agreed with. But now, as we've worked together as a team, and that's what I greatly appreciate, the leadership from our chair on that committee as well as everyone else that are members, we got to a point where we are now bringing to this floor a bill that I am very thankful for and do appreciate having right now. So with that, I urge your I vote.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, before I speak to the bill, I'd just like to thank the carriers and the committee, and I would like to thank the Speaker and the majority leadership bringing this bill here to the floor. It's a long time coming, and I would be remiss if I did not express my gratitude for that. To the bill, please.
To the bill.
In 2003, as a freshman legislator on the Business, Labor, Consumer Affairs Committee, my good friend from Southeast Portland came and asked me if I wanted to join on a minority report that would bring contraceptive parity to the floor. And after explaining to me what all that meant, I said yes. and we came here to the floor with that bill, and my friend, my good friend from West Salem showed some great courage in supporting us with that bill. And I'm glad to say both these fine women and friends of mine are on the bill, and I'm proud of that. That we failed that day, and I went home that day to my daughter, and I held her cherubic face in my hands, and I looked her in the eye, and I, with a, by the way, with the miracle of life staring back at me from those beautiful eyes, and I said, "Today your old man fought for you." And I'll never forget it, and I'm shaking with pride because of that. Now, today I'm going to go home, and I'm going to hold her beautiful, now she's 13 years old, and she is participating in her decisions with her mom and dad, and soon, and I hope it takes a long time getting there, she, like her wonderful mother before her, will be making her own decisions. But today I'm going to go home today, and I will. I will hold her beautiful angelic face in my hands, and I'm going to tell her, "Today, your old man fought for you and for all the little girls and all the women in the great state of Oregon. But today we won." So thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I urge everyone's eye vote.
Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise in support of House Bill 2700. That's probably not a surprise to you. This is an important step for women's health in Oregon, and I urge you to join me in voting in favor of this bill. But specifically, I'd like to talk about the issue of emergency contraception, or EC, which is often misunderstood. Emergency contraception is a safe and effective means of preventing pregnancy after sexual assault. Also known as emergency birth control, EC has been available in different forms for more than 30 years. It contains the same hormones found in ordinary birth control pills, but in a higher dose. It is highly effective if taken within 72 hours, and more effective still if taken within 24 hours. It is important to stress that emergency contraception is not the same as the abortion pill known as RU486. In fact, emergency contraception will not disrupt an established pregnancy. Moreover, the Food and Drug Administration has recognized the safety and efficacy of emergency contraception and recently approved this medication for over-the-counter access for women 18 and older. While public health advocates are working to give women greater access to emergency contraception, there is still work to be done. As with so many other issues, clear and understandable access to good information is critical. Surveys show that most women still don't know about the availability of emergency contraception, and that's why this bill is important. Timely information about and access to emergency contraception in the emergency room anytime a woman comes in who has been a victim of rape or incest is both critical and compassionate care. House Bill 2700 will help ensure access to EC for survivors of rape and incest. I'm pleased to lend my support to this important bill, and I hope you'll join me.
Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise today in support of House Bill 2700. I do so notwithstanding the considerable irony some of you may appreciate that I'm addressing you on the subject of family planning. I have a personal story on this. I spent 3 years living in England with my wife, and we took advantage there of the free and convenient services, family planning services, a whole range of them that were available to us walking in off the street. You can imagine our disappointment to find out when we came back for summers in Oregon that, of course, our healthcare system here is very different. Not only would we need to pay out of pocket for those same services, but even if we had insurance coverage, they wouldn't necessarily be covered on our plans. This is a common sense bill that would increase fairness in women's health care, expanding access for Oregon women to prescription birth control, and guarantee victims of rape or incest access to emergency contraceptives. Affordable access to contraception is essential to women because it allows them to plan their families and take care of their health. Yet, nearly half of the insurance plans in this state do not provide this basic coverage, leaving many women to pay out of pocket for these prescriptions. And meanwhile, these same companies who deny coverage for this essential part of women's health care provide prescription drug coverage for cosmetic prescriptions or medication for men's health, such as Viagra. Now, we Oregonians like to view ourselves as fair-minded leaders, but on this health care fairness issue, this basic issue of fairness, we are behind the curve. More than half the states in this country, as you've already heard, have already enacted contraceptive equity laws. It's long past time for Oregon to join that good company. Contraceptive equity isn't just about health care. It's about the health of our communities. When women have access to basic health care, they are better able to contribute financially, socially, and intellectually to their families, their workplaces, and their communities. It is in our state's best interest to provide Oregon women and their families with the firmest foundation possible for a life of health and success. Now, this bill also makes sense. Covering contraceptives is cost-effective. Pregnancy, prenatal care, and delivery are far more expensive than birth control to insurers and to Oregon businesses, especially when complications develop. And finally, Oregon has an obligation to ensure that victims of rape and incest receive the most compassionate medical care possible following attack or abuse. Emergency contraception to prevent pregnancy from sexual assault is a safe, effective, and humane option for sexual assault victims. Emergency contraception will not disrupt an already established pregnancy. Colleagues, this is an issue of critical importance to women and men in my district and in yours. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and friends. I could stand up today and speak to this bill in support of it as a woman who has spent 30 years of her life working hard to advocate for women's reproductive choices. I could stand before you as the mother of a soon-to-be teenage daughter who at some point in the near future, not too near future, I hope, but sometime in the future, will benefit from the bill we're about to pass today. But what I really want to do today is talk to you as a business owner, because I know there have been some questions raised about the effect of this bill on business owners. And I would like to allay some of those fears. Washington State Business Association has looked into this issue and actually determined that providing this kind of coverage in all likelihood saves businesses money compared with the costs of not having these services available to their women employees. That's just on the cost of health insurance. Separately, we know that as close as Washington State, businesses have been sued and lost in court for their failure and in some cases their inability to be able to provide this coverage to their women employees because it wasn't available in the open insurance market. So by making this part of all insurance packages sold in the state of Oregon, we provide coverage and help for business owners to be able to meet their legal requirement and obligation to do this. But it isn't, as a business owner, just about meeting a legal obligation. It's about being fair to the women who help the economy of Oregon. For all those reasons, I cannot tell you how happy I am to stand today in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise in support of House Bill 2700 as well, and I thank my colleagues for their eloquent comments. I don't think I can replicate that, but I did want to add a personal story from one of our constituents who recently testified in support of the bill. On your desk, you'll find her story, and I won't read it aloud, but I do think it's worth sharing briefly. Her name's Jenny Hawkins. She's with us in the gallery. And her story, I think, illustrates why we need to make the Access to Birth Control Act Oregon law. Ms. Hawkins recently testified with the Committee on Human Services and Women's Wellness. She has an individual health plan that covers prescriptions, but not prescription birth control. Ms. Hawkins recently had the experience of going to the pharmacy to fill a prescription for a skin whitener prescribed by her dermatologist for the purposes of lightening areas darkened by sun damage. She was surprised to learn that this cosmetic prescription was covered, but not her birth control, which she continues to pay for out of pocket. And in fact, when she contacted her health plan about upgrading her plan to one that covers contraceptives, she learned that she already had the most comprehensive individual plan they provide. And both her independent insurance agent and a State Farm agent informed her that they knew of no individual policies that covered contraceptives. I agree with Ms. Hawkins and those who have already spoken. It just isn't right that birth control isn't covered. It's basic health care for women, and it should be treated as such. Time to correct this inequity and pass House Bill 2700. I urge your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Maurer.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill?
To the bill.
There's really two issues here in House Bill 2700 that I want to talk about. First off, I support House Bill 2700, so we'll get that out of the way. And I think one of the issues that we have to look at is mandates. Some people may vote no because it's quote, a mandate. And I can understand that because this session we will be looking at something like 28 measures that add 23 new mandates to health providers or health insurance companies. And currently we have something like 29 or 30, maybe 31 mandates. And so you have to put this all into a larger context. And in this case, this is not about providing free prescription contraceptives to women, because I went back and looked at a policy that's all near and dear to our heart. That is the public employee benefit policy, and my wife is a nurse practitioner, and she checked on the price of a prescription contraception that is covered under the PEB plan, and the yearly total for that prescription contraception was $532.08 a year. And so this bill does not address anything about lowering that cost, but it does offer it to a number of other women out there that probably could use it. And so that's one issue. The other issue is about health care reform. In the larger context of health care reform, it is going to be a different story in this legislative body about how we address these types of mandates. The direction that health care reform is taking us today is taking us away from the legislative assembly debating these mandates and is going to move it into, quote, the entity or some other board. And so the legislative assembly will not have the ability to debate mandates such as these. It'll be based on evidence. It'll be based on what is best for society as large, and I would suggest that this probably would be included. So I think it's just an issue that you need to keep in the back of your mind as we debate these mandates as they continue, that someday that may not be what we are going to address on this floor. But again, I urge your support of the House Bill 2700.
Further discussion, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I want to rise in support of House Bill 2700, and I want to thank my good colleague and friend from Albany, who had a similar career in law enforcement to mine, for his support. As a former police officer of over 31 years in Oregon, I've seen firsthand the devastation that results from rape and incest. Unfortunately, these crimes are all too common. Recovery from the trauma can take weeks, months, or even years. Pregnancy as a result of the attacks can compound the trauma, which is why it's so critical that women have access to the option of emergency contraception to prevent pregnancy. House Bill 2700 contains provisions that ensure compassionate and timely medical care to prevent pregnancy resulting from rape or incest. In my experience in law enforcement, I've seen that survivors of rape and incest have better outcomes when they receive prompt, thorough medical care and support. Often an initial point of contact for a survivor is in a hospital emergency room, which is why it is so essential that hospitals be required to provide appropriate services, including emergency contraception. House Bill 2700 will ensure that victims of rape and incest receive the best care available, which includes both information about and access to that emergency contraception. By providing this basic care, we can help keep these victims from undergoing the additional trauma of an unintended and unwanted pregnancy as a result of rape or incest. Colleagues, in 2003, 56 other members of the House joined me in voting to ensure that emergency contraception was available for rape victims in some cases. Now, today, is the time for us to make that information and, if requested, the medicine available for all women in Oregon. I urge you to join me in supporting House Bill 2700. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
The carrier yields.
She does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative. I do have a question only to kind of inform more of my understanding of one of the peculiar provisions in this bill, and it's on page 3 under Section 7, where it talks about a public body may not deprive an individual of the right and use of various methods of contraception. It says a public body may not interfere with or restrict information, benefits, facilities, services. Going on down, and then it says, as used in this section at line 30, contraception means the use of any process, device, or method. And I was wondering if you had discussion in your committee to define what the process might be that would determine contraception.
Can you hold on just a minute, Representative?
Thank you. Thank you for your patience, Representative. So, Section 7, line 27 and 28, you're referring to, is that correct? Actually, I'm sorry, it's line 38 and 39, where it says the definition, as used in this section, it gives definitions about what public bodies may not do. And it gives a definition of contraception at line 39, small print A.
Okay, and your question is?
Clarification.
Clarification, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're just talking here.
I noticed.
With apologies, Mr. Speaker. The definition, what your committee might have heard or discussed by way of what is the definition of process for contraception.
Representative, do I have to say anything before I respond? Yeah, just respond like we're talking. Okay.
Please
so
respond.
Contraception means any process, including, and it lists all the different methods of preventing preventing conception. So it seems to me that that self Explanatory representative.
Clarification, Mr. Speaker.
Clarification. Does carrier yield?
Thank you, Representative. But what I'm looking for, I understand what a process. It's an act of doing something. So I'm trying to understand if you had discussion in committee that kind of elaborated on the definition of what that process might be. Because the definition includes process, device, or method to prevent pregnancy. So what is the act that is the process? I think it means the medical method of administration. Follow up?
Additional question, is the carrier yield?
The carrier yield.
She does.
Thank you. And so a medical method of administration would be a medical procedure that would include perhaps abortion as a part of a contraceptive device, process, or method? No, Representative, it would not. There was nothing in the process that would include any type of abortion. This is all to prevent pregnancy.
Is that additional question, or are you seeking clarification?
Mr. Speaker, we're just talking here. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yes, additional question, is carrier yield?
Carrier yield.
She does.
I guess I'm just having a little difficulty getting the clarity, I think, that you would hope that I would have in making this decision about the definition of process. You're telling me it's a medical determination or act, but it has to be in order to do something. So what is that process?
Well,
I think we're talking about devices, methods, and process, and I'm focusing on the process as a definition of contraception.
The process might be to hold on. On line 13, contraception means the use of any process, device, or method to prevent pregnancy, including steroids, et cetera, chemical, physical, or barrier. But there is nothing that would be any process after pregnancy. This is all before pregnancy to prevent pregnancy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative.
To the bill?
To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, and I appreciate the comments. And what I'm understanding also then is that there was probably not as full of discussion that might have focused on that area as I would have hoped. Thank you.
For the discussion, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
Carrier yield.
She does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Tomei. Could you define for us the emergency contraception, please?
Give me a minute. Emergency contraception is a safe and effective means of preventing pregnancy after rape or unprotected intercourse. The hormones in emergency contraception are the same as those used in regular birth controls, just at different levels. Emergency contraception will not disrupt an already established pregnancy.
Follow up?
Additional question, does the carrier yield?
The carrier does.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. The description you gave does not match what I was looking at in Section 4, line 18, 19, within the bill. Could you please clarify where you brought your description from?
That is the definition, Representative. On lines 18 and 19, emergency contraception means the use of a drug or device that is approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration to prevent, again, I would say prevent pregnancy after sexual intercourse.
Thank you. Further question, please?
Further question, Ms. Carrillo.
The carrier does yield.
She does.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker, Representative. In the bill summary, there is a description that says emergency contraception is a term used to describe a method for preventing pregnancy after unprotected sex, sexual assault, or contraceptive failure. How does that apply to the bill?
As it does say in the bill summary, emergency contraception is a term you just described, a method for preventing pregnancy after unprotected sex, sexual assault, or contraceptive failure. So again, it prevents pregnancy. It does not terminate pregnancy after pregnancy has begun.
Further question?
Further question on the carrier? Do you yield?
The carrier yields.
She does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, given that description, then, could a person present at a hospital and receive emergency contraception only after unprotected sex or contraceptive failure?
Could you restate your question, please, Representative?
Clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes. Could a person present at a hospital and receive emergency contraception only after unprotected sex or contraceptive failure?
No, Representative. Only if they are a victim of rape or sexual assault.
To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative. I believe that I'm certainly in favor of the health benefit portion of this to include coverage of contraception. I think the bill remains gray in the area of how it provides what is termed emergency contraception. And I think we should be quite cautious of how we proceed with the descriptions that are given. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel sorry for this good representative, but a question of the carrier,
question
please.
Of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
The carrier does yield.
She does.
Good representative, I have a question. Is there any reason at this time that any business on their own volition cannot allow their employees or the families of their employees to have contraception coverage under their insurance policy?
Clarification, do you mean before this bill takes effect?
Clarification requested. Please go ahead.
Yes, clarification, Mr. Speaker.
Could you restate that, please, Representative?
Well, a restatement. What do I say?
Go ahead and restate your question.
Okay, I'll restate the question, Mr. Speaker. Good representative, can't any business today offer insurance coverage for contraception?
Yes.
Prevention?
Yes, Representative.
Follow-up question?
Additional question? Carrier yield?
Well, could
carrier
I ask?
Carrier does yield.
Could I then ask you why, if they can do it already, why do we have to mandate that they do so?
Because half of all insurance plans in Oregon do not provide this coverage.
Do you, we follow up,
please? Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
The carrier does yield.
She does.
Have we received in committee, from other, from certain businesses, why they would not want to provide this medical coverage for their employees?
We didn't hear from anybody. We heard from no businesses who were opposed to this bill, Representative.
Okay. Thank you.
Additional question?
Yes, please.
Additional question is carrier yield?
The carrier does.
She does.
At this point, right now in life, if a person is a victim of rape or abuse, don't they already have the right to immediate emergency contraception at the hospital, devices or support or help at the hospital?
Not by law, Representative. Some do, many do, but not by law are they required to. This would require hospitals to provide emergency contraception in those circumstances.
Further question?
Additional question is carrier yield?
The carrier
does. She does.
Good Representative, I guess, could you, what proof would there be, I don't know how else to ask this, what proof would there be that the hospital does not have to help an individual in this circumstance?
The data is clear, Representative, that half of them do not provide this.
Follow-up.
Additional question. Do you yield?
I do yield.
She does.
Thank you, good representative. But they can on their own volition. Is that not true?
You're right, Representative. They can provide it, but only half of them do provide it.
Thank you. Follow-up.
Additional question. Do you yield?
The carrier does.
Carrier yields.
Good representative, this really is of concern to me in the bill. On page 1, line 13, if I could read this, it begins on 12, at line 12. A prescription drug benefit program or a prescription drug benefit offered under a health benefit plan as defined, blah, blah, or under a student health insurance policy must provide payment, coverage, or reimbursement. My question and concern is that this states no age level for the students who should be given this right or this privilege under a student health insurance.
This was offered, Representative, at the recommendation of the Insurance Division.
Okay. Follow-up question, Mr. Speaker.
Additional question is carrier yield?
Carrier does.
She does.
Good Representative, I need to know if my daughter, at the age of 13, covered by a school health insurance policy, under this bill must be given contraception
these
devices
plans are
for
meant
prevention
for college students age 18 and over.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Follow up, do you yield? Does Carrie yield?
Yes,
she
I
does.
Do.
And I don't mean to belabor this. I have high respect for you, as you know. I'd like to just ask you where on this page do I find that this is only for college students who are age 18 or older?
Representative, it's in the insurance code. As I said, it came from the insurance division who recommended this.
Okay. To the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. Speaker and colleagues, I have great concern for that portion of this bill that does not specify in this bill how old these children are who can benefit under their school health plan. I fully believe that this bill should go back to a committee and be amended for that primary purpose. I know it's not going to do that's not going to happen. I also would like to say that I don't think we need to continue to put mandates on businesses and medical institutions and schools. There is a tremendous burden when we decide ourselves what is best for those entities. But most important, the concern about the age of the students and exactly what do we mean by emergency contraception is very important. Nowhere in the bill does it specify at what point or what time following this excuse me, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wasn't certain how we could word things here. So, following, this bill does not specify the time period following a sexual relation at which time this benefit can be provided. And those are my reasons. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Thatcher?
To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, we've spent a lot of time in this building talking about making health care more affordable to Oregonians. Yet every time we get up here and talk about more mandates, I'm afraid we're doing just the opposite. In fact, there's a report from a Congressional Budget Office. It's dated 1999, but I believe it is applicable today. And it says that a mandate that primarily affects insurance offered by large firms would be expected to lead to a smaller decline in coverage than one that primarily affects small firms. Small firms and their workers are more sensitive to premium increases and are more likely to drop coverage because of a mandate. I will repeat that last line. Small firms and their workers are more sensitive to premium increases and are more likely to drop coverage because of mandates. The latest report from the Small Business Administration says that in Oregon, 98% of firms with employees are small firms. This may lead to more employers dropping coverage altogether. I'm a small business owner, and I pay health care insurance. I see these rates going up every year, and I'm always faced with the same questions. Shall I lay somebody off? Shall I pass more of this cost increase onto my staff? Should I just drop coverage altogether? Adding more and more mandates to health insurance will only decrease access. It's time to let the free market do what it does best, compete and deliver. It's time to start saying no to more mandates. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really hadn't planned to speak today, and I'll be brief, but I did want to make a couple of points.
To the bill?
To the bill, yes. First, I'd like to thank the representatives for carrying this bill forward. This is a long time coming, and they have worked very hard for this. I've been involved in it a little bit over the years, but it kind of reminds me of the fight for mental health parity. And what we're talking about here is fairness. The same thing happened with mental health parity, but we're talking about fairness. If your prescription coverage covers prescriptions, it should cover prescriptions. The representative from the Center of Portland mentioned his experience in Europe, and I believe virtually across the world we are seeing this kind of coverage, whether it's a free coverage. We have different kind of health care services and systems. I was not surprised to hear him say that. And I think that he made that good point about the fact that our prescription coverage for insurance companies covers Viagra, yet it does not cover contraceptives for women, which I can't quite make sense of that, but that's not the point. And as far as the mandates go, I'd like to just briefly address that. Mandates are, you know, they can be good and bad, I suppose, but I think that they come up because the coverage is not adequate. I don't want to get into discussing all of the long, detailed financial pieces, but we talked about mandates with mental health parity and the costs, a very small cost of adding this coverage to people who take medication, for example, at $13 a month versus long-term care and all the issues that can come up from not being covered and not taking medication. And I think you could apply it to this, too. Women should be free to choose what happens with their bodies, and this will help them do so. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Tomei, do you wish to close?
I do, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much. Colleagues, in closing, I want to thank my wonderful, bright, talented, thoughtful, good-looking committee for their insights and collaboration in bringing this bill to us today. And I also want to thank Senator Kate Brown and my wonderful staff and advocates for their tireless effort. And I want to thank all the women through the years who have worked so hard. And it's been many years and many sessions of hard work, which my good representative from the coast has alluded to. And I want to thank former representatives, Tricia Smith, I hope she's in the building today, Kitty Piercy, Jan Lee, Cheryl Walker, and the hundreds of advocates who have written letters, made phone calls, and visited the Capitol. I know a lot of you are here today. Thank you. And I appreciate an aye vote from all of us on this floor. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cameron, how do you vote? Cameron votes aye. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Esquivel votes aye. Representative Dallum votes no. Representative McPherson votes aye. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Crummell votes no. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Richardson votes no. House Bill 2700A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Lim, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, could we return to the order of courtesy, please?
Unanimous consent requested for return to courtesies. So granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And is the mic is on? Yes. We have a wonderful group of students from the Gordon Russell Middle School. They were going to come earlier, but the seat, as you know, has been occupied, so they were not able to get in. But instead of their sitting on the side aisle here, and the counselor is Linda Ibi. She has been 23 years at the Gordon Russell Middle School, and a student, sixth graders, Elizabeth Ball, Emily Ball, Alex Wiseman, seventh graders, Blake Letcher, and Tyler McAfee, Austin McCall, 8th grader, Stephen Abraham, Hannah Goodwater, and Gerard Cook. And this, the Gordon Russell School is a wonderful school. They are premier green school, Oregon student report card, strong school. Marching unit took first place in 2005 Junior Rose Parade. Nearly one-third of school participate in marching unit, band, drill, flag, lawn chair, and banner teams. And the seventh grader at the school is one of 50 in the state chosen to compete March 30th at the National Geography B contest. And I would like to extend special courtesies to this wonderful student from Gordon Russell Middle School that is standing on the left aisle. Can you wave your hand? Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Very good to have you. Representative Witt, under courtesies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I would ask you to help join me in welcoming today the Astoria Women's Crisis Service staff who are located over here in the North Gallery.
Further courtesies, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll name three of my constituents who are among them. Debbie Simons, and Debbie and her daughter, the Simons, from Seaside, and Monica Hutchins from Warrenton. Welcome to the Capitol.
Further courtesies? Propositions and motions. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended in consideration of HJM 9 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Tuesday, March 20th, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 3521 relating to dogs. House Bill 3531 relating to local government income taxation.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 5043 relating to financial administration of the Department of State Lands appropriate money declaring an emergency. House Bill 2187 relating to fees imposed for periodic sanitary surveys for drinking water systems. House Bill 2232 relating to delinquent property tax returns prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2237 relating to filing requirements for war veteran property tax exemptions. House Bill 2314 relating to collection of debt and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2322 relating to courts and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2362 relating to proceedings in probate courts. House Bill 2562 relating to implied consent. House Bill 2619 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 2741 relating to investigation by district attorney of physical injury. House Bill 2782 related to precursor substances.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Before I take a recess motion, are there any further announcements? Representative Barnhart.
Simply to note that the Revenue Committee expects to meet on time at 1 o'clock.
Thank you. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 6, the Health Care Committee of the House is meeting in a special televised session with six sites around the state joining in. I'd like to invite the members from those districts to join us if they're in their home district at the community college or college where it is happening. If not, to join us in Hearing Room F. And we'll have sites in Ontario, LeGrand, the Dalles, Klamath Falls, Coos Bay, and Medford. So we're going to be talking about rural health needs of the state, and I would hope many of the members will be able to join us in that discussion. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We will be taking a recess motion until 1. Representative Barnhart, I just wanted to alert you to that in case your committee wants to meet after we come back to the floor at 1 o'clock. We'll be recessing until 1 and coming back to the floor. Representative Barnhart?
Mr. Speaker, are we actually expecting that we will certainly come back at 1 o'clock?
We will come back at 1, yes.
Well, then we'll meet immediately after that, the either further recess or the adjournment for the day.
Thank you for that clarification. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Government Accountability and Information Technology will do the same. We'll meet immediately after the floor session. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Greenlick.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been informed the meeting is going to be in Grants Pass and not in Medford. So make sure if you're going to be down there, you get to the right community college. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
A recess motion is now in order. Representing Jensen until 1 p.m. March 15th this afternoon.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand adjourned until 1 p.m. this afternoon.
We will be recessing, if I can amend that. Representative Jensen moves that we are in recess until 1 p.m. this afternoon, March 15th. Without objection, we're in recess. I have to go straight out and do a press conference. Why don't you come with me?